Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Injury Time Extra, a series where we bring you interviews with football players and stories about them away from the field. Well, Sandeep, yesterday we spoke to someone really special.
Yes, yesterday we had a chance to have a conversation with Daryl Duffy, the
Mohun
Bagan striker from Scotland. And if I do say so myself, I think this is the best extra interview that you've done so far.
So far, yes.
Because he spoke about his life in Scotland, about
life in England, life in India,
the decisions, his family, his personal, goals and the current season and everything. And I just wish we could have recorded the conversation that we had after the recording was done, because that too was that was pretty funny as well. We may discuss that at a later event, but
yes.
At the moment, I hope you guys enjoy this interview as much as we did. So, Daryl, how has the season been so far for you?
Pretty good. We started off really well, and things were going really well for us. But recently, we've a little bit of a sticky patch where we're drawing games and we had our first defeat in Goa. But I think if you look at the results, all the teams seem to be kind of going through the same thing, and I think it's just to do with the fixtures are so congested and the travelling and stuff. It just makes the players tired, so then it's more difficult to get to the same levels, have the same type of energy that you do in the early part of the season.
And how much harder is it, because you also played the Kolkata League as well in between 8 matches?
No, that was because there was a big break. There was a big 2 or 3 month gap in between, so that wasn't a problem.
And looking at the title challenge, still up there, you have a couple of games in hand.
Yeah.
So what's the mood in the camp like? Because the teams above you seems to be dropping points.
Yeah, I mean, we seem to be matching each other's results at the moment, which is it's frustrating, because if we're winning matches when they're drawing, then obviously it helps us. So we're a little bit frustrated as a team at the minute. We're not entirely happy with our performances and our points total. We've only picked up 2 points out of the last 9, so it's frustrating. It's not disappointing, we're not downhearted, it's a bit frustrating for us at the minute. But we have regular meetings with the staff, we have regular meetings with just the players as well to talk about things, what's going wrong, where we can improve, and performance wise I don't think there's too much wrong. We just seem to either be conceding silly goals, or goalkeepers seem to be getting man of the matches against us quite a lot as well. So it's one of those things. That's football. That's why it's entertaining, and that's why people enjoy it so much.
Now, if you look at the I-League, there's a 2 week gap for the international break.
Yeah.
So how are you planning to spend these 2 weeks and come back stronger for the second half or the later half of the
game? Yeah. Well, the first 5-6 days, I'm going to do absolutely nothing. I'm going to rest, because like I say, it's really tough, it's really hectic playing all these games and doing all the travelling in such a short period of time. So the first little while I'm going to do absolutely nothing, just completely rest, let my muscles and my body recover, and then I can get back in the gym and top up on the strength work and conditioning work I was doing before the I-League started. But that's my plans.
Before that break, you have a crucial AFC Cup match
day
after against Bengaluru FC. So how is Bagan preparing for this?
The same way, we approach I-League and AFC the same way. We take it game by game. This is our first group game, and I think if you can pick up points in your away games, as long as you're winning your home games, then it's good for us. So we'll be aiming, as always, for 3 points. But I think if we can get a point, I think it'll be a good result.
If you look at the CSA AFC Cup, only one team from the group qualifies for the knockout. So how much of a pressure that is?
Yeah, well, like I just said, as long as you can, if you're picking up points away from home, as long as you're winning your home games, then you should be in a pretty good position to win the group. So that's what we'll be aiming for. And like I said, we'll just take it game by game and see where we are.
One more question on the AFC Cup. For the past 2 days, when we spoke to Sinjoy Sen at the press conference,
He
was pretty vocal about his intentions, the club's intentions of prioritizing I-League over AFC Cup. So, with that in the background, how is the team looking forward? Do the team also echo the same sentiments where the league is a priority over AFC Cup?
We don't really talk about things like that, to be honest, as players. That's nothing. We never sit and say, oh, let's give more effort in the I-League or let's focus on the I-League. We don't care. You know, that's up to the management and the staff at the club. And, you know, if that's their choice, then that's their choice. But the players never think of it that way. Whichever 18 is selected, whichever 11 is picked to play, they'll give their best to win the match.
Well, going back to the start of the career, could you just tell us how you started off playing football in Scotland?
I started with Glasgow Rangers from 16 years old. I went in full-time professional. I left school at 16. And I was there for 4 years. And I then spent 18 months at a club called Falkirk.
Were you on the second division there?
The first division, yeah. We won the first division and we won the cup that season, and I got a move to Hull City. I spent 18 months at Hull City and then signed for Swansea City. I spent 18 months at Swansea and then moved to Bristol Rovers. I spent 3 years at Bristol Rovers, then 2 years at Cheltenham Town, and then I came to Salgonka. I was at Salgonka for 3 years, on loan to FC Goa, and now I'm here at Monbegan.
So, as a player who's played in the Scottish division and the English division, how different is the approach or the way the league is shaping up over there?
It's a lot more professional in the UK. It's a lot more organised. There's more facilities. It's football crazy in the UK. Like the media and stuff in Calcutta, is very similar to what it is in the UK. It's very intense. But like football side, India is a lot further behind the UK. It's maybe 20 or 30 years behind with facilities and technology and even TV, like the TV coverage and stuff like that. But it's still good. It's still enjoyable. I really enjoy my time here. That's why I'm in my fourth season. The people are great. The boys are great as well. Everybody, puts in the effort, and it's really fun. It's really good. I really enjoy it.
When you decided to move to India to Salgonka, so what was the thing that drew you to India?
Well, when I was younger, when I was a young footballer and playing in the UK, I always had an ambition to play abroad at some point in my career. Just to get away from the UK climate, experience something completely different from the UK, and you don't get much different from Scotland than India. They're complete polar opposites. The climate is completely different, the culture is completely different, the food, everything is completely different. And I saw it as such a wonderful opportunity to experience something completely different to what I was used to. And I'll be honest, at first, when I first came, I thought, it's so different. I thought maybe I'll stay for one or 2 years. And after 2 or 3 months, because it wasn't just me, my family were here as well. And at that time, my children were not even 1 year old and 3 years old. So I thought maybe they might struggle as well. And all of us, my wife, all just adapted so quickly, and we settled in really well, and that's why we're here 4 years later.
And even in India, you played in two of the most football crazy states, Goa and Kolkata. So how different is the culture between Goa and Kolkata within the craziness?
Well, they both love football, but the fan base in Goa is not really there. You don't get big crowds, and you don't get fans coming to the airport to greet you when you're going to different states and when you're coming back to Calcutta, and there's always fans at training. And one again, fans are always there watching training, and you don't get that same level of hands-on with the fans that you do in Calcutta. So it's more, like I said, it's more UK style in Calcutta, whereas Goa was a bit more alien to me, where there was no fans coming to training, nobody really came to watch games, and that took a lot more adapting for me. Being in Calcutta, it's a bit more like the UK, so it's a little bit more familiar for me.
What about the derby back in Scotland and in India?
Yeah.
How different is it, and what are your thoughts on
it? I started at Rangers, and that's Rangers against Celtic is a Glasgow derby. It's one of the biggest derbies in Europe. And probably one of the biggest in the world as well. So again, the derby thing, again, for me, is more kind of normal. That kind of build up, the pressure and the atmosphere and the passion of the fans, whereas, you know, they kind of hate each other, basically, which is kind of what it's like in Scotland as well. Like, Rangers and Celtic fans hate each other.
You see the same in Kolkata.
Yeah, it's the same sort of thing, you know. If you're a Rangers fan and you're wearing a blue t-shirt in the Celtic end of town, you know, you'll get people staring at you and giving you dirty looks, and I'd imagine it's probably quite similar here. If you're in the East Bengal area with maroon and green on, you know, you'll probably get some funny looks, and so it's good.
You are a Rangers fan?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what do you feel about the current situation of the club? Considering Celtic is just winning everything.
Yeah, it's sad. It's a complete shame to see what's happened to the club. You know, they went bankrupt, and I think 5 years ago now they got demoted from the Premier League down to the fourth division because of the financial problems. I think Scottish football wanted to make an example of them because of the financial state that they got themselves into. So they wanted to make an example of Rangers and to try and discourage other clubs from making the same sort of mistakes. And it's a complete shame. You know, they went down to the fourth division. They had no European football for 4 years, which was a massive part of the club. And now they had to build a team from scratch again. So, no, they've done well. They're back in the Premier League now, but they've got a very long way to get back to the same level and to start competing with Celtic again, which is, it's not a good thing if you're a Rangers fan, because you want them to be up there every season challenging with Celtic. But realistically, it's going to take a number of years before the club can get back on its feet and back to the same sort of level where they were competing in the Champions League and getting into the Champions League group stage and stuff. It's a long way off yet.
In India, we always look at the Premier League or the Liga and Bundesliga and think that life is all great for all football fans. So outside the top division, I know there's a lot of money in England, in the UK. So is it just as good just outside the top division?
In Scotland?
Yes, anywhere else
or
in England.
Anywhere in England. Top two divisions in England, are there's not too much difference between the Premier League and the Championship. Obviously, the clubs in the Premier League have got a lot more money to spend and to give players salary wise. But some of the, probably the, say the, from top to the middle teams in the Championship could all easily compete in the Premier League. Not with Chelsea, Arsenal, Man City, Manchester United. They could all compete with, you know, the likes of West Ham and Everton, teams like that. They could comfortably stay in the division. Teams like Bournemouth, for example, have come up and nobody gave them a hope and hell's chance of surviving beyond Christmas. They all thought they'd be relegated. But, you know, they've come into the league and they've done well for themselves. They're still in the position that everyone's expected them to be in. They're still at the bottom of the league, but They're making a real go of it. And I think most teams in the English Championship could do that if they got promoted. So it's really competitive. in the third and fourth division. Again, they're not too far away from like maybe the bottom half championship level. Again, it's just the money thing. The more you go down, the clubs have less money to spend on transfers and to spend on salaries, so it's more difficult to attract players of a good quality. But the standard in League One and League Two in England is still extremely high.
And we generally see British players, they don't really go out of the British Isles much,
yeah.
Except for a very few players like yourself and John was there.
Yeah.
So, as someone from the British Isles, what do you feel about, why do you think that is?
I think British people are kind of set in their ways. They like what they know. They like to go away on holiday to get some sun for a couple of weeks because you don't get much sun in Scotland and England. So everybody loves that. Everybody looks forward to that. But I think a lot of people would struggle. A lot of British people would struggle if they came out because everything's so different. I say British people, they like their home comforts. They like knowing what type of food they're going to be eating every day, what they're doing for work, you know, all that stuff. So I think just British people as a race, we're not too adaptable. And I think that's why a lot of players don't go away and stay like me and John have. Like, I don't imagine too many more British players would come to India and play for 4 years. What would maybe come, play a season and go back home? And not just India, like abroad, anywhere. You don't see Scottish players going abroad anywhere and staying for any kind of length of time because they miss home. It's as simple as that.
Now that you are here, when you go back, would you recommend India as a viable option for the other players?
Yeah, I already have. I played with a guy in Scotland, Martin Scott, and I recommend, he was kind of similar to me when I was in Scotland playing with him. He always said he'd love to go abroad at one time, and I brought him to Salgonka last year, and he stayed for 10 months in Salgonka and really enjoyed his time. He was in a slightly different position than me, where he's got 3 children. 2 of them are already settled in school, so they never came with him when he came to Goa for 10 months. So he obviously struggled, he missed his family, and they missed having him at home as well. So he's now back playing in Scotland again. But he would have, if his family situation was a bit different, his kids weren't settled in school, then he would have happily have stayed out. I still speak to him now, and he says he misses Goa and he misses playing in the I League and stuff. So it is good. You know, it is good. Players could come and enjoy it.
So something we don't normally look into is the life of a footballer staying away from his family in
yeah.
a different country. You are comfortable here,
yeah.
The family is here, but how difficult is it? I'm sure maybe during your British days when you were in England, maybe your family wasn't with you at that time, so how difficult was it to stay away?
Oh, I've been extremely lucky. My wife has followed me everywhere. Everywhere I've went, every move I've made, she's quite happily, you know, kind of dropped everything that she's been doing. She's put her career on hold so that I could move around and play football. So, you know, I'm so fortunate to have a wife like that, that was willing to sacrifice her career so that I could have my career. So I don't really know. I can't answer that question because, like I say, I've been so lucky. I've never had to do kind of anything alone. I've always had her by my side. She's always been there to support me. So, and I don't think I could have done it otherwise.
You guys were dating when you were very young?
Yeah, we first met when I was 21, I think. So we've been together for 11, coming up for 12 years this year. So yeah, long time.
What was she doing in career?
She was, when I first met her, she was in university. She was doing her degree on communication and media. And when we left the UK, she was doing events fundraising for a charity company in the UK. So that's what she was doing at the time. But she said so long away from work now to have children and to follow me around that she doesn't really know what she wants to do when she does get back into work. So we'll see.
Would you see
Darren Duffy
moving to another nation anytime in the future? Or are you comfortable with it?
I have no idea. Football's one of these ones that's very difficult to predict the future, to know what your next step's going to be. So I've no idea. I'm totally focused on this season and trying to win the I-League, trying to do well in the Federation Cup and the AFC Cup as well. And that's my only immediate focus at the minute.
In all the clubs that you played, where did you have the most fun?
Oh, good question.
Rangers.
I've been quite lucky. I've been quite lucky where I've always had pretty good dressing rooms with pretty good teammates. The two that stick out the most would probably be Falkirk and Swansea, because we had such good changing rooms. There was such a good bond between the players, and I think that probably was the reason why we won the league in both those clubs. And probably Salgonka as well. You know, I spent 3 years there, and it was a great time. So, those three clubs.
Swansea was before Brendan Rodgers came there.
Swansea was Roberto Martinez at that time. Yeah, so that was really good. It was a great bunch of players and great camaraderie with each other. And like I said, I think that always leads to success on the pitch as well.
What would you say is your best and worst moment on the football field?
Best moment? Oh, to pick one, I've got 16 years of playing football to try and pick one moment. Yeah, it's pretty tough.
Anything that sticks out?
Obviously the day you win a league title. You know, the day you win a league, you're confirmed as champions. You know, those days are pretty special, and you know, they always kind of stick with you. And things like scoring hat tricks, things like that, kind of pop up. So to pick one would be really tough. Worst moments, probably when you get injured on the pitch. You know, especially if it's a bad injury. Like when I was at FC Goa, I got a broken leg from a tackle. When I was in Scotland, I tackle with a goalkeeper and I broke my ankle. So it's kind of times like that where you get injured on the pitch through kind of no real fault of your own, just one of these things that happen, and you know, you miss 2, 3, 4 months of the game because of it. So yeah, those are probably the things I'd say.
How difficult is it to come back from like a broken ankle? I think at that time you were young.
Yeah.
So how difficult is it because your career is on hold and you just want to start again?
Yeah, that's it. It's difficult, and you need to be mentally tough to, you know, because every day you still need to go every day to the club, because you've got your cast here, you can still do stuff this side, you can still do upper body stuff, you can still do, you know, stuff with your other leg, and it's frustrating and difficult to motivate yourself every day to go in and do the same stuff, because all you want to do is you want to go in, you want to train and get ready for the games at the weekend, and you're having to go in, you're in the gym and you have to watch all the players, all the team out training on the training pitch, and then you have to go and watch them playing on a Saturday and support them on a Saturday, and you just want to be out there. And it's tough. It's probably the hardest moments in a footballer's career is when you're injured and you're out for a long period of time. Just watching on from the sidelines is very difficult.
When I'd spoken to Sam Vokes, he had said he had a knee injury.
Mm.
It took him 9 months to rehab, and then it took him another 9 months to get kind of confidence to say,
yeah,
I can go for 50-50 challenges.
Yeah, run,
so
jump.
How does that run in your, as a player in your mind?
Yeah, it's human nature, I think. It's, you know, if you've had a bad injury and you've been out for a long time, your automatic first instinct is to protect that area and not do the same, not damage the same thing again and miss all that time again. So it's just completely human nature, and it's a gradual process. You know, you take it step by step. You start off with your jogging. You probably start with a limp, you know, and you start to jog, and your first obstacle is to get rid of the limp, to jog freely. And that's the first obstacle. And then probably the last thing would be, you know, sprinting 100% without thinking about it, jumping, shooting, doing all these things with a clear mind. And only then that's when you can start to kind of get back to the same sort of levels you were at. So it is, it's a gradual process. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. And you know, I keep going back to this mental toughness. It's, you need a certain amount of mental resolve to get through these tough times.
Just before we end, a word on the Scotland international teams.
Yeah.
Situation. Where do you see it going? Because Wales and Ireland are now kind of, you know, in the playing European Cups.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's difficult to watch. You know, we watched the European Championships as obviously a Scotsman. I was watching it, and England were there, Wales were there, Northern Ireland were there, and the Republic of Ireland were there as well. The only British nation that weren't there was Scotland, and you know, we're good enough to be there. We should have been there. We've got the players that are good enough to get us there. But to be fair, as a national team, we always do seem to get difficult draws. We always seem to get either Italy or France in our group. And that's for the last, qualifying for the last two European Championships and two World Cups, we've had Italy or France in our group. And only one qualifies and then one goes into a playoff. And we've, no doubt about it, we've underperformed in the qualifying campaigns for the past four. And are unfortunately also doing a bit of the same again in the minutes qualifiers. But I say we've got the players, we've got the facilities in Scotland. We've got a lot of players playing in England, in the Premiership and the Championship in England. So it shows that we've got the quality of individual players, but we've just not, at the minute, found a manager that can bring them all together as a group and get consistent performances. Because they do perform well against the better teams. We seem to perform well. And it's against the lesser nations that we are favourites and we should beat that we tend to struggle a bit more. So yeah, it's difficult to put a finger on why it's not going well, why we're not qualifying for major tournaments, but it's definitely a major talking point in Scotland as to why, because like I say, we are good enough and we should be there.
That's all then. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Well, that was Daryl Duffy for you guys. Sandeep, really interesting conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, a nice conversation. One of those nice guys in football that you see. And like I said before, the conversation that we had after the mics were off was even more funnier. But I suppose...
The only thing that irked me was that little disturbance from the behind.
Body. Yeah, there was a slight disturbance. We did it in a hotel, so there was some ambient noise. Right. But we're sorry for that. But
We hope that you like this conversation that we had with Duffy, and do stay tuned. Like, we bring you more interviews in the future.
Yes, we will bring you more interviews in the future. And
yes, do follow us on Audioboom, and we are also there on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Until we bring you the next episode of Injury Time, which will be very soon this week.
Yeah, we'll probably in a couple of days.
In a couple of days.
A lot of things to talk
about.
Right
after the AFC Cup match, the big one that will be on Tuesday.
Yeah, and a lot of things to talk about. Big weekend at
the
IB, yeah.
Yes. So all of that in the next episode of Injury Time. Until then, have a great time and enjoy the game.